Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawks Live.
The always Hall of Fame winner.
Let's go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Here's Chris Bowden and Nick Gismondi.
One more really big show here over the course of the next hour as we have our season finale edition. Then Nick and I will skate out to center ice, raise our sticks, and give you a big thank you. Welcome into Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. We'll be joined in a couple of minutes by Mike Hardman, who is a fun guy to talk to listen to, and quite frankly, he's been a fun guy to watch in the first 8 games of his NHL career and been productive at that. So looking forward to visiting with Mike here in just a few minutes. But Nick Gismondi, what's cracking, buddy?
Bodes, how are you, my friend? I'm going to miss this every week. Can we just do this anyway?
Well,
we'll just get on a Zoom call and just talk about hockey for an hour every Monday.
People may think we're a little bit silly, but you know, if we want to open it up to anyone who wants to join us, if we we have Curtis arrange a Zoom call every week and maybe get a little less dressed up or something like that, enjoy our favorite beverages while we're doing it as well, since we won't technically be on the air.
We can, like a great idea.
We can roll the dice on that if we want to. Season 1 winds up with the 2 home games before fans, and it was so great. Even though there were only, you know, about 4,000 or so in the house, it did make a difference. There was an extra dose of life there while Jim was singing the national anthem, while the organ was rocking the rafters, and it was a whole bunch of fun. But when you look back at these 2 games against the Dallas Stars, Nick, they're kind of symbolic of the way the entire season has gone. On Sunday night, you know, they hang on for the victory. Last night, unfortunately, they can't close it out. A 4-2 lead in the third period evaporates, and I'll go back to this. I said it on the postgame show. I said it a few minutes ago with Steve Bertrand. You go into this season knowing no Taves, no Doc, a bunch of rookies, and if you tell anybody they're going to have 55 points in 56 games, people would probably raise their hand and run with it. And even though they teased us a little bit with in the playoff picture there for quite some time, all in all, you know, I think if there's any way you can call a season a success without making the playoffs, this might be it.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I think when you take a look at the totality of this thing and what the expectations were coming in and what they got out of it, and then what these young players, I mean, 10 guys, 10 rookies in the lineup the other night. I mean, when you think about the experience that they've gotten, and you're going to hear it later on from Hardman when we bring him on, but you know, it's the bonding and the maturity and the experience and the things that they gain from a season like this. And you mentioned them being in the playoff hunt for a while. Even that benefits these rookies because they got a taste of pressure hockey. They got a taste of, okay, it's do or die every time we step on the ice. So I think for the Chicago Blackhawks, all in all, you gained more than you lost by not making the playoffs this year. Yeah, the playoffs would have been great. That would have been an extra level of maturity and experience and whatnot. But you got guys taking reps as leaders that maybe didn't step into that light before. You got rookies getting experience that maybe would have taken them years to get. And you got a new, you know, essentially roster of goaltenders that also got some valuable experience. So all in all, I think this was a win, and I think a benefit, and I think that we're going to look back at this season in a couple of years and be like, that might have been the year that put these guys on the path to be in contention like they are right now.
Exit interviews going on today and tomorrow. We heard from a handful of Blackhawks via Zoom and their final media availability. Some of the things we learned today, guys bound for the World Championships, Dominik Kubalík to the Czech Republic, Brandon Hagel to Team Canada, and Nikita Zadorov to Russia. Patrick Kane will not play for Team USA. He's got a baby after all. He also says he's been dealing with an injury issue ever since before the playoff bubble last year. Didn't reveal it, but something he may have to have addressed during the offseason, something minor. And I want to let you hear real quick here what Patrick had to say about shouldering some of the blame here. amazing season in the fact that right now he is second in the league in assists with 51, yeah. fourth in points at 66, but just 15 goals, only four over his last 33 games, and he shouldered some of the load on that front of this team falling short of the playoffs.
It becomes depressing, you know. I mean, you want to be playing in the big games and the big moments, and you know it's obviously tough. And I think you can. At the end of the year, I mean, it'd be easy to, you know, point fingers and different things as to why we missed the playoffs, but you take it upon yourself to look at what you did and what you could have done to help this team even more. And obviously, I look at my season, you know, when I was producing a lot and had a big start to the season, you know, we were in a playoff position. So obviously that didn't continue, and you see we kind of faded out of a playoff position. So you know, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think those two things go hand in hand, and you know, in the future, just gotta produce you know more consistently and you know be better for the team.
Yeah, just real quick, Nick. Last year certainly an aberration. We learned for Alex DeBrincat. We know this year was an aberration from a goal scored standpoint for 88.
Yeah, listen, I mean, obviously he's dealing with something. He emphasized that it's a very little minor thing that he's not overly worried about, but certainly that had to play a role. And listen, I love the growth in leadership that Patrick Kane has had to yeah. shoulder this year based on just who's not been in the lineup and, you know, the loss of some key guys and this and that. So that, for me, that's a guy that I would follow into the gates of HE double hockey stick and back. I mean, a guy like that, you know, who's done so much for this team already, right? I mean, for gosh sakes, you know, what hasn't Patrick Kane done in the city of Chicago and for the Blackhawks? But for him to take the responsibility and try to own up to something like that, that's kind of what you look for in a leader, man. That's everything you want in a guy that you're going to follow.
Well, he did play into mid-May, although not the way he wanted to play into mid-May here this year with this crazy season. Time for our first break here. When we come back, we'll hear from Mike Hardman. That's next on Blackhawks Live, presented by Chevy Drive Chicago. Drive what Kane and Taves drive.
Delia plays the puck behind the net over to Murphy near corner. He'll pass up the right wing to Kane, then to McKenzie and Entwistle. Through center ice over the Hurricane line down the right wing. He fires, save, rebound, score! Following up on the shot, it was Mike Hardman. And Hardman let it rip for his first NHL goal, and the Blackhawks have a 2-0 lead over Carolina.
Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Chris Bowden, Nick Gismondi here on our season finale show here on 720 WGN, and we are pleased to be joined by a guy that maybe a lot of Blackhawk fans weren't even aware of before March 30th when he signed a two-year deal here with the Blackhawks after a couple of seasons playing for Boston College. But they certainly know him now. 8 games under his NHL belt, and he has a goal and 2 assists to show for it, including one last night in the 5-4 overtime loss to the Dallas Stars. It is our pleasure to bring in another one of those Blackhawks rookies making his debut this season and scoring his first NHL goal as well, Mike Hardman. Mike, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, well, so try to put into words what these last couple of weeks have been for you. Again, deciding to end your collegiate career after a very successful run. I'm sure you're disappointed with how this season ended for BC, but then deciding to move forward. And how did this relationship with the Blackhawks, I guess we'll start there, begin in terms of their interest in you and how many other clubs had interest in you as well?
Yeah, it was it was definitely the hardest decision of my life, leaving BC. I'm from Boston, and I grew up going to all the Beanpot games, hockeyist games, so I watched a lot of BC BU games growing up, and just the opportunity to go play at BC was an honor. I played for Coach York for 2 years, and he was in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He was one of the best coaches I've ever had. And but yeah, no, I thought after this year, I thought I was ready to make the next step, and you know, to play pro hockey. And, you know, I think the Blackhawks, they showed interest starting my freshman year with Mike Donahue. He's the head scout now, and he's a Massachusetts guy. And but, yeah, I met with him a few times my freshman year, and then met with them this summer, talked to them over Zoom. And but, yeah, no, there was some other teams that were interested, but I thought the Blackhawks was the best fit for me, just with so much opportunity here. And, you know, there's a lot of young guys coming down the line here. So But yeah, no, I love Chicago so far. It's been an awesome 3 weeks, and I'm really happy that I chose to sign here.
As a Boston guy, Mike, you clearly know the relevance and the revenance that comes with being a being with an original six, and I'm sure that certainly played into the eagerness to be with an original six franchise in the NHL. But what's that jump like from playing college and kind of sort of skipping over that little AHL kind of warm up and getting right into the crux of an NHL season at that moment in March was a crucial time for these Blackhawks.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think that it was definitely the change of pace was a lot faster going from college to the NHL. And you know, I was lucky enough to get out of quarantine and practice for about a week and a half with the team here and kind of get used to the pro pace and just talking to guys like they've been in the league for a while, just talking about the league and kind of just learning the ins and outs. But my first game is, it's a day I'll never forget, playing against Tampa, the defending champs, and just kind of getting right into it. And, it was awesome. But I think that, it was great to, play in these eight games this spring and kind of learn what I need to, get better at to try to make the team at a training camp next year. But I thought it was an awesome opportunity. And, these past couple weeks are weeks I'll never forget for sure.
Well, you have an interesting backstory that I want to get to here eventually. Nick and I want to get to here eventually. But for the here and now, what was your, oh, man, I'm in the NHL moment, whether it was going up against somebody or, hitting somebody that you've been watching or just a matter of fact, that, as you mentioned before, making your NHL debut against the reigning Stanley Cup champions, is there one moment that particularly stood out that said, well, I'm wearing the uniform, I signed the contract, I know I'm supposed to play, but wow, now I am here in the NHL.
Yeah, there was a couple moments. I'd say my first game, I remember, I think it was in the first period of my first game, lined up for a face-off, and Victor Hedman's right next to me, and I'm just like, this is unbelievable. Like, this guy is someone I've watched most of my life on TV, and having him right next to me. But I think another cool moment was we're playing Florida in my second game, and I finished my check on Keith Yandel, who's another Boston guy, and I know him pretty well. Pretty well now, but he kind of gave me a couple cross checks and tripped me a little bit, but. He had no idea it was me, but I know him because he's a Boston guy. But just playing against these future Hall of Famers and guys that so many people back home know about, it was pretty cool. Just having like most of my buddies back home like asking me about certain guys, even playing against a guy like Jamie Benn the last two games was unbelievable. He's a he's one of the best players in the league, and just to be able to be on the ice with a guy like that, it really is incredible.
And now to cap it off, you're getting interviewed by legendary Chris Bowden on WGN Radio in Chicago. I mean, yeah. That's
who that?
You're gonna go out to dinner on that one tonight, right?
Yeah, not bad at all. Definitely a nice feeling.
We talk a lot about, and Bodes and I have talked a lot about this. We're hockey guys, and the small world that the game of this sport is, and just the coincidences that come about in it. And Bodes alluded to it a little earlier, but your grandpa was the captain of BU and played against Jerry York, who was at BC during 64-65 season, and then York ends up being your coach. So there had to have been a little bit of a little back and forth between you guys there and coach, I imagine, right?
Yeah, it was actually pretty crazy. Like when I was in the BCHL my last year of junior, and I was honestly choosing between BC and BU, and that was a tough decision for me because growing up I was a huge BU fan. My grandfather was a captain there his senior year, and growing up I was going to every BU game on Friday and Saturday nights with my dad, and wearing the BU jersey, like face paint, all that stuff. And I remember telling like my family that I was coming to BC, and they were just like, "What?" Like, everyone was in shock. But I was a prep school guy. I went to prep school for 2 years, and BC has more of a campus feel, and BU is more in the city. And even for hockey too, just talking to the coaches, and I thought for an opportunity standpoint, I was gonna play a lot more my freshman year, where I did. I played with two first-round picks was Alex Newhook and Matt Boldy, and they're unbelievable players, two of my best buddies, and I got to play with those guys, and it was just a great 2 years. And if I could do it all over again, I'd choose BC 100%.
Yeah, have you been in touch with Boldy and New Hook and saying, hey, I've already racked up more NHL points than you two have combined, you first rounders?
Oh yeah, actually, I talked to Alex this morning. He has 3 assists in 4 games, so I was like, you can't get another one before playoffs because you have some bragging rights on me. But you know, they both started off in the AHL, and you know, I know Matt's still in the AHL right now, but you know, they had really good starts. I think Matt has like 13 points in 11 games, and I think Alex had like 9 or 10 in 8 games. And then I know Alex is with Colorado right now, but you know, I'm just so happy for those two guys. You know, they work so hard, and I know they're going to have great NHL careers. And but yeah, no, they've been two of my best friends, and just being able to play with them for the last 2 years was awesome. And you know, I know they're going to do great things in Colorado and in Minnesota.
Hards, when I see you in person next year when life is back to normal, we'll swap some BC stories. I had some fun there attending a bunch of games. I coached a kid, Scotty Savage, who played there for a while, and I would tag along when possible. So I had a lot of fun on that campus.
You're in the Moz at all? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Moz, Cleveland Circle, it's a fun time. Something that I'll miss for sure, but you know, I know all my friends back home, they all had a blast this spring. So, but yeah, no, BC it's a great great school, and it's great sports, and it's also a great place to go to college.
Heck of a town. Always love Boston. Let's talk about your play a little bit. You know, right away you kind of wedge in with the fans here in Chicago because you play a tough game. You throw a lot of hits. You're right in the mix. And I think it's something that this team certainly needed this year, especially with some guys that played that role kind of absent. But has that always sort of been your game? I mean, through the BC and into college and now here in the NHL, is this sort of just business as usual for you and your style?
Yeah, I think, you know, in college, that was when I tried to bring to the table at BC. I think it was a big physical power forward, but can also, you know, shoot the puck, score goals, and make plays. And, you know, I think that's what I had to bring to the NHL. And you know, I knew that Chicago needed that, talking to the coaches here. And, you know, I think my first game, I tried to, you know, show the fans or the coaching staff that I can play physical and be hard to play against. And but, yeah, that's something I try to bring to the table every night, you know, a guy that can, you know, go in the corners, you know, fight for pucks, check people, but also, you know, making plays and, you know, try to score goals and set people up. But, no, I think that's a style that I need to play. And, you know, you see a lot of guys in the NHL right now, like, you know, Brady Tkachuk, Tom Wilson, those guys, you know, they're physical guys. They also can make plays and score goals. And, you know, those are two guys that I try to emulate my game by.
All right, well, we're having too much fun here with Mike Hardman. So, well, we're going to take a break and bring him back on the other side after the 7:30 news with David Jennings. So more with Mike Hardman, with Nick Ismondi and me straight ahead when Blackhawks Live, presented by Chevy, DriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Tave Drives continues on 720 WGN. Chris Bowden, Nick Ismondi, back with Mike Hardman of the Blackhawks here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Chevy, DriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. So, Mike, in the last week, we've had kind of the Mike and Mac show, I think, on that fourth line. You guys assisting on each other's first NHL goals. But, you know, when we were talking to McKenzie the other day, he says that you guys just met about 10 days or so ago. We're talking about an instant connection here between you two guys.
Yeah, so basically what happened was I'm over here in Carolina, and Kirby got hurt, and, you know, Macker came into the lineup, and we found out we were playing together, and we kind of just, in pregame skate, we're just talking and kind of just learning about each other. And then I think it was our second or third shift his second game in NHL in Carolina, and he made an unbelievable play passing off Pat, and I was just there to tap it in. And you know, we were fired up. It was my first goal and his first assist, so we were both on cloud nine. And you know, I think just as both guys that had limited experience in the NHL, we're just talking to each other, you know, on and off the ice a lot, and just learning from each other too. But you know, he's a great guy, and you know, I know he spent most of the year in Rockford, but I think he's gonna be a really important player for Chicago later on. And but yeah, he really showed that he can play at this level. I think his speed is unbelievable, and you know, he can make plays and play that power game too. So he was he's a great guy, and I know it was really nice to be able to assist on his first goal too, and Kane to get assists on both our first goals. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you've already lobbied Jeremy to keep him on your line together.
He's definitely the best player I've played with.
Well, and you guys scored the first goal in front of fans there at the United States. I mean, granted, there were a handful the previous weekend, relatives, family, and friends, but, with the 3,800, 4,000 or so fans, and you guys were the first ones to light it up, you assisting on Entwistle's goal, and the place just simply erupted. And it was on a night, a first of two consecutive nights, 10 rookies in the lineup. I would have to imagine, things change. This thing's a merry-go-round, a roller coaster. Nothing ever stays the same. But I would have to imagine there has to be a certain bond among all of you guys in terms of what you guys were able to do here over the course of the last couple of contests. Just being 10 of probably, 12 15 players that make rookies that were in the Blackhawks lineup. I would imagine there's a little bit of a bond between all you guys, right?
Yeah, it was so like all the rookies. It was crazy. I actually had no idea that there was that many rookies on our team. I remember, Coach Crawford came up to us and he was saying that we were playing 10 rookies in that game, and it was crazy. But I think that most of the guys played a full year in the NHL, so they had a good amount of experience. And that game was awesome, just to have all the fans at the UC. And I remember, in the national anthem, just hearing everyone clap, and it was just something that I've never really experienced before. And it was crazy. And then just after that first goal, I remember being in the celebration with Macker and Kaner and the two defensemen there. And I think it was just hearing all the fans go nuts and hearing the goal horn. It was something that I'll never forget. And it was just pretty cool to be able to win that first game in front of the fans at the UC. It was pretty crazy. But I've heard that the United Center is one of the best stadiums to play at. I know certain guys in the teams that have been on other teams have said that they love playing here. So it was really cool to play in front of those 3,000 or 4,000 fans.
Hards, this is something that I kind of ask a lot of the guys when they come on here, especially some of the rookies, and I think it's so important to kind of get across to the fans and the listeners, but I think it's impressive what this group was able to do this year based on the circumstances, based on the number of rookies. I guess from your experience, speak to me just sort of how close that knit is in the room, because you don't always have that. And I think the personalities gel really together with this group, which is why we've seen rookies be able to come in and you're able to develop a quick relationship with Mac and you're able to produce right away. It's got to speak to what's going on inside that locker room, the stuff that we don't see from the outside looking in.
Yeah, the veterans were awesome with me, and I came right in, and everyone was just, want to know about me right away, and just making me feel really comfortable. And I think that's the reason why, a lot of rookies came in this year and did really well. And that's credit to guys like, Kane, DeBrincat, Duncan Keith, guys like that, are superstars in the league, but they're awesome guys off the ice, and, they want to know about you, and, they're hanging out with you at the rink, stuff like that. So I feel like, in any sport, when you're comfortable and you have confidence, you can you're playing a lot better. So, there's a lot of camaraderie in the room there, and it was just awesome to make small talk with guys like Duncan Keith and stuff like that. It was something that is pretty crazy, just watching a guy like that on TV for most of my life, and now I can talk to him at the rink, and I eat breakfast, have lunch with a guy like that. It's pretty nuts. But
texting him,
I think it's no surprise because of this. All the camaraderie that the team had this year, and I know I was only here for a couple of weeks, but I think that's the reason why. I think there was a lot of rookies that were feeling comfortable around the group there, and it made it a lot easier.
All right. Well, well, you share a kinship with like Andrew Shaw, who was passed over in two drafts. You were passed over in 18-19 before Andrew was finally drafted in the fifth round, I believe, in the 2011 draft. You come out as a college free agent after being bypassed, and you've used that chip on your shoulder. Good on you to make the climb. And I think it's a good lesson for all young hockey players who may not be the quote unquote studs that everyone keeps their eye on. As long as you keep grinding and keep to it, you've reaped those rewards here so far, and have a bright future. But as we let you go, I asked you this during your initial Zoom call with the Chicago media as well. What was a 14-year-old Mike Hardman like on that June night in 2013, Game 6 over at the TD Garden? I forgot whether you told me you were at that game or you were watching on TV. So we might as well end on this happy note.
Yeah, no, I was watching with all my friends and like a couple of my family members at my house, and I remember we were up by a goal with a couple of minutes left, and I remember Bickle scored, and I forget who scored the game winning goal there, but I was not happy whatsoever, and it was just a disappointing night, but you know, I'm super excited to be a part of the Blackhawks organization now, and you know, hopefully in my career here, we can win another cup for Chicago. That would be unbelievable. But yeah, that night in 2013, I was not happy whatsoever.
Well,
hey, wait, take it from a guy from Detroit who's working in Chicago now, yeah. Right, buddy? Like, listen, they like you quickly here.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as the Red Wings beat up on the Blackhawks for all those years, to finally getting over the hump. Well, congratulations on this. I won't say quick rise because, as I say, it's been a grind for you. But congratulations on making it to the league and for all you've accomplished so far. We know there's a lot more promise coming ahead. I know you're waiting for that come August for that NHL schedule to come out and find out when those two games are against the Boston Bruins next year. But congratulations on breaking through here. Your great debut here with the Blackhawks. Have a great offseason, and look forward to seeing you come training camp next September.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Mike Hardman joining us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Chevy. DriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. What a great kid there. Nice to catch up with Mike Hardman, and interesting story. We didn't even touch on all the things that we would have liked to with Mike, but a nice way to end our guest appearances here on Blackhawks Live this season. Nick Gizmondi and I will be back with a little bit more as we count down towards the end of the season for Blackhawks Aww. Live. That's next on 720 WGN. Welcome back in to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chris Bowden and Nick Gizmondi as we count down on our season finale show here for the Blackhawks, wrapped up their season with a 5-4 overtime loss to Dallas. And before we get into what we're going to do next year, Nick, I just want to ask you if you feel the same way as I do, that on the Blackhawks official stat sheet to wind up the season, don't you think that you and I should get some assists here?
Primary assists,
right?
Not only like secondary apples. I mean, I'm talking about you and me getting the primary assist on a bunch of goals this year.
To be quite honest, it's like Kane being on the line with Entwistle and Hardman when they score their first NHL goals. I think we deliver that much. And what am I talking about? Well, it seemed as though there was a very positive trend with the guests that we would have here on Blackhawks Live every week, and their success in the ensuing week. Curtis Koch, hit it. Here we are on 720 WGN. Chris Bowden with you, and our very first guest was the third overall pick of the 2015 draft. It is Dylan Strome.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
And now they score! Somehow this one pinballed off of Dylan Strome's skate from behind the Tampa net. He was about 4 feet below the goal line, and the puck deflected off of Vasilevskiy's skate. An ugly-looking goal, but it'll count.
Calvin DeHaan joining us live from Florida.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
To DeHaan, top of the left circle. He shoots, he scores! Calvin DeHaan!
Chris Bowden along with Nick Gizmondi, and we are pleased now to be joined by the man who scored that goal, as described by John. Matthias Janmark.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to be back. I appreciate it a lot.
Picked off by Janmark, and he's got a breakaway through center ice over the Predator line. Down the slot, he shoots, he scores!
Ian Mitchell. So, Ian, since you've agreed to come on during an off night here in Detroit.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
To the slot, Mitchell shoots, he scores! A right Stifling wrist shot there by Ian Mitchell.
Alex with 18 points in 15 games so far this season, 12 points in the last nine, and we are pleased to be joined now from Columbus by Alex DeBrincat. And since that game, you've had Kurashev do go all McDavid on the Red Wings defense, and then you've had Patrick Kane do his spinorama backhand. Are you working on something up your sleeve about can you top that? Are you working on something there?
I might have to. I might have to start thinking about that.
DeBrincat picks up the puck at center ice, carries it in over the jacket line to the left circle, cuts in front, deeks and shoots, he scores! What a move by the Cat!
He has certainly put his style and his stamp on this lineup. It's our time now to welcome him in to Blackhawks Live. Brandon, Chris Bowden, and Nick Kismani, first of all, thanks for joining us. How are you tonight?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing pretty well.
Hagel took the puck away, sends it all the way down ice, he scores! An empty net goal for Brandon Hagel!
And we are pleased to welcome in the guy just coming off a fantastic 30-goal rookie campaign that earned him third place in the Calder Trophy voting, and third is where he stands this season on the Blackhawks in goals, assists, and points. We welcome in Dominic Kubalik.
Hey, guys.
Pinnestrosa came out with him, put it in front. Kubalik shoots and scores! Dominic Kubalik off of an outstanding effort by Vinny Pinnestrosa.
Acquired from the Florida Panthers along with Brett Connolly and Henrik Borgstrom. 10 games under his belt as a member of the Chicago Blackhawks. And again, we are pleased to be joined tonight from Raleigh by Riley Stillman. Riley, thanks for taking some time out of your off night here. We appreciate it. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me in, guys.
A shot from the left point. They score! And Pew Sooner let it go. I'm not sure if this was tipped on the way in or not, but we got a tie game with 3:01 left in period number three.
Yeah, you knew it was tipped in by Riley Stillman for his first NHL goal last week. Nick Ismondi, nine active Blackhawks players that we had on over the course of all our weeks here. You know, we had some very other special guests from, you know, Denny Savard, Jamal Mayers, a couple of other people in the organization. But of the actual current Blackhawks players who are on the roster, nine players, eight of them got goals in the week after we had them on the ensuing week. I don't know what Connor Murphy's problem was. You know what Connor Murphy's problem was? He was just getting hit by too many pucks, blocking shots throughout the course of the season. And he did a fantastic job.
Pretty sure he hit the post that game, though. Yeah. I remember it. I remember, like, everybody reacting on Twitter, too, because I think he hit the post in that one. But.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe next season we'll give Connor another opportunity. And if he doesn't come through then we really got a problem with number five.
Hey, Bose, what's it like to have eight assists in the NHL, bud?
You know what?
It's great. Yeah.
I never thought it would happen.
Yeah,
I never thought
neither.
It would happen.
I love it.
Let's go to our hockey DB right now and type it in, yes. See if it's registered yet. Time for our final break here. Some final thoughts from Nick and myself as we wind up this inaugural season of Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Ken and Dave Drive.
One mega call does it all.
We have come to that point in the show. We tried to get Gene Hanna to give us a 1 minute to go in regulation for our final edition of Blackhawks Live presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. We certainly hope there will be a Taves driving around and skating around the rink here next season as we put a bow on this inaugural season of Blackhawks Live. Nick Gismondi, it has been an absolute blast spending these hours each week with you talking nothing but Blackhawks hockey. They gave us a lot to talk about this season, and can't wait to see how this team develops here moving forward. There are going to be changes. Actually, Stan Bowman announcing during a season ticket holder Zoom this hour that he and Jeremy Colleton are doing that he has signed Henrik Borgstrom to a 2-year contract. So we'll see Borgstrom here. Hopefully we'll see Taves here. There will be changes, but this season hopefully a launching pad for this Blackhawks team. And it's been a ton of fun working with you here this past season.
Excited to see what the Blackhawks do. And Bodes, I cannot thank you enough for letting me be on with you on this legendary station and with you, who I admire more than I could put into words. You're a rock star, sir. And I'll get out of the way and let you say your thank yous. But big thanks to Dave and Curtis and Mary Boyle, and then obviously everybody over at the Chicago Blackhawks for everything they did for me this season. And can't thank the communications team enough, and Stan and and everybody for all the support and love and the city, too. You guys are amazing, and thanks for welcoming a kid from Detroit into your legendary ranks.
Back at you, sir. And, yeah, I guess by force of habit, we're going to be forced to just do our own Zoom, even if it's not on the air, Monday at 7 o'clock. So we'll alert everybody to join us then. Nick, outstanding job as always. Again, some thank yous to get before we break for news. The Blackhawks Media Relations Department, as Nick indicated, especially Will Chuckerman, who was the driving force behind getting our guest, Curtis Koch, our producer, Brett Jackson, our engineer, pretty much all season long, most of all you for joining us and listening to us here every week. Coming up next, it is John Landecker. That's after the 8 o'clock news with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Again, thank to all of you for listening, and have yourself a great offseason, everyone.